last night that has left two people dead, 19 people with bullet wounds, and three people trampled because of the chaos at this block party. The city trying to come to terms with this. We're welcome to hear your thoughts on that through the Vox Box as well at 416-205-5807. That is your show for Tuesday. It's been a busy one. My name's Matt Galloway. Good luck with the heat. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This is CBC News. From CBC Toronto, it is 8:30. Good morning. I'm Jill Dempsey. Southbound 400 at King Road, a collision blocking the left lane. We have an extreme heat alert in the city. Right now, 28 degrees with a humidex of 34. Expect a high today of 37 degrees. For the fourth time in 2 months, gunfire erupts in a Toronto crowd. This time, it happened during a block party on Danzig Street near Morningside and Lawrence. Two young people are dead, 19 others shot and wounded, including a toddler. Three others were injured as people scrambled to safety. Toronto Police Chief Bill Blair says this is the worst violence he's seen in his 35-year career.
Well, I think every citizen of Toronto will be a little shaken up by what has transpired here in Scarborough tonight. You know, this is an area of the city that has never experienced this level of violence before in one single evening. To have two people lose their lives, 19 innocent people cut down by gunfire, it's a shocking incident. We have a great deal of work to do.
Trevor Dunn is on Danzig Street. He's been updating us all morning on this story. Trevor, what's the latest?
Well, Jill, we now know as the bullets flew on Danzig Street last night, one hit a child less than 2 years old in the head. Toronto police have confirmed this for me, as well as some other details. Two people were killed, one a teenage girl, the other a man in his 20s. 19 other people were shot. Their current condition and ages vary. Police say some are still in surgery. I could not get an update on the condition of the infant who was shot, but Chief Blair said last night it is a non-life-threatening injury. Three other people, as you mentioned, trampled in the frantic rush that followed the gunshots. This neighborhood is shaken. Leighton Robinson lives here.
Something's got to be done. That's my thoughts. And it's got to be done immediately. You know, it can't work this way.
As many as 200 people were at this block party. A fight apparently broke out. Now, in that long list of the 19 people who were shot, there's a man. Police say he's 19 or 20 years old. He's being held as a person of interest in this investigation. Jill.
All right. Thank you, Trevor. The CBC's Trevor Dunn. Mayor Rob Ford has issued a statement. He says he's shocked and disgusted by the violence and is assuring residents criminal behavior will not be tolerated in the city. Michael Thompson is counselor for that Scarborough ward. He told Metro Morning he believes police will be able to solve this case, but he's worried about escalating public violence.
But there is a question in terms of how do we address this, where this sort of wanton nature of this, you know, it's a psychopathic behavior of these individuals, in fact, that put the public safety and public at risk, and it's something that we're going to have to, you know, come to grips with.
For the latest details on the shootings and the police investigation, go to our website, cbc.ca/Toronto.
Yippee!
What's the title of this thing? No title again?
I'm that lonely, the
rolling, Bob?
That's, excuse me. That's the sound of the wind whistling through the trees here on the edge of the boat launch area in Bluffers Park. On a Tuesday morning, on my way to see my chiropractor for the last time, it may be helping. If I did the exercise as she told me to, I know it would be a huge help for my poor aching back and painful right leg when I walk and so on. I think it's the right thing to do, but it's a matter of discipline. And I think the only way for me to bring about a change is say, okay, there's got to be assigned to a certain time of the day. Okay, this is the time I have to do my exercises. I'm not very good at doing that kind of thing. I just do not follow through. I procrastinate. I find excuses. I ignore it. I just want things to go away that I don't want to think about. And I guess one of those things I don't want to think about is the shooting in Scarborough last night. And yet, here I am, the Scarborough dude. How could I not talk about what's happening in my town? It was all over the news. I tried to follow Twitter. This is a shooting that happened around 11 o'clock at a block party in the vicinity of... dead batteries again. In the vicinity of Morningside and Lawrence on a street called Danzig. I know the area. Not far from Kingston Road. A block party that had about 200 people, and I guess it was advertised and Twitterized, and everybody came from all over, and there are just so many ways to describe this event. The bottom line is there are assholes out there with guns all over the city of Toronto. It's the American disease. Sorry, Americans, but it's your fucking fault for selling all those guns, because these are not rifles, these are not hunting guns, these are pistols that any kid could buy. And the city is full of them, and you've got young assholes who either get dissed or they're wearing the wrong colors, another American import. Somebody decides to draw a gun, and somebody else draws a gun, and bullets fly, and innocent people get killed. So, 2 dead, 19 injured, 3 trampled in the panic that followed. And, of course, it was big news and trending all over the place. And this is exactly 1 week before I bring my young ladies, many of whom are traveling for the first time, especially alone without their families, I bring them from Japan to Scarborough. And I know this news is going to reach people in Japan, and I'm already preparing the story I'm going to have to give and assure them that the kind of families my young girls are staying with would not take the girls to block parties and such. But it's, that's just one aspect of it. Yeah, it hurts my business. This is not good. This is not a good image for the city. But hey, that's really not what this is all about. It's the place I live, too. It's the place my children live, or my son now. And the feeling at the end of last night, after the anger had passed, was, what can I do? What can any of us as citizens do? I mean, there's an anger element. You just want to catch these fuckers and lock them up. But how do you get the guys before they get the guns, before they get into this mindset, before they join the gangs? How do you reach them? And where does it start? And how many of these kids have a father? That'd be one of my questions. Who actually serves as a role model? And I'm guessing a lot of them don't, or if they do, it's not a very good role model. And there's a tendency, it's an easy tendency to sort of blame a community. Okay, who were the people who were being loaded into the ambulances? Who was attending this block party? Who organized it? And was it just a little family get-together of friends and just a great community event to get to know each other better, which would seem to be a wonderful thing? Or was it just, no, this is like a rave. There's money to be made. We're going to sell booze. You know, this is a big deal. Somebody's going to score on this, score big. I don't know. And you could just, as I say, you could paint this story so many different ways. When I followed Twitter, half the tweets were just, hey, it's Scarborough, can happen anywhere. It's really sad what's happening to my town. I love Scarborough. Don't think it's all the same. These are only certain areas of Scarborough. And then there are other tweets of just, holy fuck, you know, who would ever go to Scarborough? You'd be crazy to live there. As if it was everybody in the whole city. And it's disturbing, because I am a Scarborough lover. I don't know. I don't have an answer. Maybe I don't even want to talk about it now. I'm just sort of done. I stayed up late till watching the story unfold, watching the news, watching the reporters. And, of course, the media loves this stuff because they can just build it up so big. And the numbers kept changing. You know, 10 shot. And then it was 5 to 7 shot. And then next thing's spiking 19 shot. And that's the latest one. And now it's 19 injured. Who knows how. it's just not the way to live. But it's, I mean, who are the people? Who does it? My kids would not pack a gun. My kids would not shoot somebody for being dissed or whatever happened or being in the wrong neighborhood. I brought my kids up well. These children and the parents, whom I also blame, and of course everybody wants to point a finger, but oh, it's the economy, you know, it's the government, it's the lack of jobs, it's, you know, it's all, you know, there's no community centers, no basketball courts, it's all these other excuses. Fuck that. Take ownership. I don't know. Maybe I'll come back to it later. I thought I'd really needed to get this out there. And I have such a mixed range of emotions. Like I say, from anger to sadness to frustration to, you know, there's just, it's a problem. It's bad. This isn't the end of it. There will be others, you know. 2 months ago, it was the Eaton Center shooting. Everybody thought, hey, that's fine. And, of course, before that was the Jane Kriba story, you know, a kid walking down the street outside the Eaton Center getting shot. So there are too many guns. I mean, you're not going to kill 19 or injure 19 with a knife fight the same way. I guess that's maybe one of the basics, getting the guns off streets. And what do? You just, you know, send policemen into apartment blocks to search every building, send out dogs. You know it's going to lead to trouble and anger and a backlash and accusing the police of racial profiling and everything else. So anyway, hey, fuck, the wind's picking up and I'm just, we're going nowhere with this. I'll talk to you later. Bye for now.
Yeah, I'm
I'm back. This time from Guildwood Park. It's a very beautiful place. If you know John Meadows, this is a place he's brought a few of his models to pose in front of, Shakespearean-style stage and all kinds of statues. It's a wonderful, wonderful huge park right up on the bluffs in Scarborough. One more of the joys and pleasures that make up this Scarborough that sadly makes the news for many different reasons. But listen, I got something much more pressing right now. I just got an email. Maybe you can help me with this. It says from International Police Association United States Section, Region 2, New York City, P.O. Box Knickerbockers Station, New York City, New York. And it sounds like there was some diplomat, the International Police, IPA, they wanted to inform me that a Mr. Festus Martins had a box filed with United States dollars, not capitalized. And they interviewed Mr. Festus Martins, and he said the box belongs to me, although they don't specify my name exactly, that he was sent by Reverend David Obina of the National Drug Law Enforcement Agency, Nigeria, to deliver the parcel box to my doorstep, not knowing the content of the parcel box is money. Now, the diplomat also said this is his first transit to the United States. He was at Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky International Airport, Ohio. Wow. Anyway, he's under detention. There seems to be a problem. There's a lot. They want to know how they got. Oh, he got all his money that he claims is mine. And they want to release him, I think. But I guess I have. So in this regard, you are to reassure and prove to us that the money you are about to receive is legal by sending us the award ownership certificate showing that the money is not illegal. Now, I don't have an award ownership certificate. So I don't know how I'm going to get this money. Note that the Noon Residential Certificate, proof of ownership certificate, must be secured from the office of the Senate President in Nigeria. Now, that's going to be hard because that is the only office that will issue you the original certificates of these funds. You're advised to forward immediately the certificates if you have it. But if you do not have it, we will urge you as a matter of urgency to contact back the sender of the diplomat to help you secure those certificates, if at all you did not have it. So I guess I've got to get in touch with this diplomat, Reverend David Obina. They give me an email address. Further, we are giving you only but 5 working business days to forward the requested certificates. Please note that we shall get back to you after the 5 working business days. If you didn't come up with a certificate, we shall confiscate the funds into World Bank account, then charge you for money laundry. Oh, my God. But if you forward these certificates, then we will release the diplomat with your parcel box and also give you every back up till the money arrives your doorstep. Also note that we are doing this to make sure that any huge amount of money like yours that enters the United States is genuine. We regret any inconvenience this might have caused you. This is very, very kind of this person to write, Dr. Douglas H. King, DDS. Oh, my God. Sometimes you get something like this, and you just, you're flustered. You just don't know what to do. I've never had one quite like this before. I have had other things that are slightly, shall we say, suspicious. But this one, I don't know. They're talking about the International Police Association United States Section Knickerbockers Station. I don't know that I want to mess with these guys. This may be as serious as the duct cleaning service that calls me every night, every day. And I find out my poor nephew, living in Vaughan, also gets these calls every night. Wakes his baby up at 9 o'clock with the phone ringing to offer duct cleaning service. He has tracked it down, and the calls originate in India. You can almost tell by the voices, oddly enough. They hang up pretty quickly when they realize you're having them on. I get all excited and tell them, oh my God, what a coincidence. Duct cleaning, I was looking for a duct cleaner. Can you believe it? It's an amazing coincidence that you called just now. and they get a little flustered. Yes, sir. And they try to run their speech, and then they're told, hey, cut it off. But to tell you the truth, boys and girls, all humor aside, I want to wring some fucker's neck. I want to line some bastard up and smash him in the face. I'm sorry, I'm not a violent man. But the people who are doing the scamming, the what do you even call them? Like, this is to my house every day, every night, and the numbers you can't call back. And it's run out of Toronto. It's an office. Somebody's there. Now, surely this would not involve a lot of detective work to get the police down. If the police were getting calls at their homes, surely it's in somebody's interest to say, hey, you fucker, and just take a fire axe to all their windows and their computers and just sort of destroy it all. Vigilante justice. You see, you just don't want to go there. But, man, yeah, that's the feeling you get. Like, seriously, all I'm pitching is a fire axe and smashing every fucking telephone and computer in that guy's office, whoever is behind these duct-cleaning fucking scams that call me every night. It's so much of your energy gets sort of drained out of you, sucked out of you, pulled out of you to things that are annoying. Like, when I go, sometimes I miss an email to my study tours account. And so I go into the spam folder, and then, of course, whoa, the flood is released, and all the pharmacies, all the bigger dicks, all these other things are just pouring through there by the hundreds. And you think, oh, come on, why isn't the world made up of an intelligent, nice people who obey the laws? I don't know. I don't obey the laws, but I don't hurt people. I might irritate people, some, but hey, those people can very quickly, very easily stop listening. Anyway, let's park all that. I picked up my provincial flag pins that I give all my students from my MPP, Miss Margaret Best. Here in Scarborough, right near Galloway Road, which if you know Scarborough, if you know Toronto, you've heard of the Galloway Gang, the Galloway Boys, I believe, the notorious gang that was rounded up and quite a few of them jailed, but of course, somebody else just takes their place. And I made a point of driving down Morningside past Danzig, where this shooting occurred last night. I'm that kind of a curious person. I wanted to see what was still going on. There must have been 7, 8, 9 Toronto community housing cars going in, because these are people on welfare. This is subsidized housing, a lot of this thing. These are like the projects, you know? And so there's all kinds of people. I mean, they're in for counseling, for grief. I mean, people lost neighbors and friends, you know? 2 dead. One was a 14-year-old girl. 23-year-old boy, a little infant, grazed across the head. And, of course, all the talk on Twitter is, now there's going to be revenge. Now we're going to get the guys who did this. Because everybody knows, but nobody can tell. And you can only expect more shooting. Well, that's not a happy feeling when you're bringing students to what our mayor says is the safest city in North America. There were cop cars by the dozens still all along this place and police. And you think of the time, the salaries, the cost for 2 fucking young assholes who decide to have a gunfight in the middle of a crowded party. And you want to take those 2 guys and take their heads and just smash their fucking heads really hard together. Bam! Ooh, does that hurt? I don't mean torture. I'm not talking cattle prods. I'm not talking about cruel tortures, the kind we have in Syria. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying a good thump on the skull to start. You know, just a good bash on the head. Sorry, did that hurt? I want you to stop and think for a minute, okay? Bam, another rap on the head. Okay, now just think. Stop and think, okay? Can you think? Does your brain think? Does your brain work? Does it think? Is your brain a thinking brain, or is it completely broken that you would take a gun out and shoot it? Party it, just go wild with the guns. Are you just so fucking stupid that you just don't, simply don't know any better? What are we going to do with you? boom, another little, and again, I don't want this, I don't want police brutality. I want to be the one doing it, the citizens to do it, okay? See, what I've wanted, and I haven't mentioned this on the Dixon James podcast for a long time, is the shopping malls are the new community hubs, right? Let's face that. So whatever, see, let's take our favorite Scarborough Town Center. And you've got cages in the middle, glass booths. Nobody can get in, except for the guards, who put the people they catch on public display. You're not in a jail right now. No, you're just on public display. You are the guy, and it doesn't have to be a shooting. It could just be the guy who pushed an old lady on crutches down to grab her purse because he wanted some pocket change for a new whatever, you know. That guy gets caught, and he just lives in this booth where everybody can look at him and laugh at him and poke, and his name is up there and his address, and maybe you get his mom to bring in some food. I don't know. I suppose you could supply him from fast food. I don't know. I don't know how we're going to do that. You know, again, I'm not not starvation. This is a version of the old stocks, the public stocks, public humiliation. And I just want to see these people. I want everybody to know their face. There's no hiding under the Youth Justice Act and so on. I want everybody to see their face. I want everybody to know who they are. And, you know, you'll eventually get out. You'll get another chance. You're not going to stay there forever. But you're just going to be publicly shamed for, I don't know, what, a month? In this mall, and draw a little curtain, I don't know, maybe you take him to the toilet or something, you know, when he has to. He's got to sleep there under the bright lights. You got to live there in the mall. You got to have people see. You got to be exposed to the community. Oh, you're the asshole who pushed that old lady down, eh? Fuck, you better not be walking down my street pushing old ladies. And again, you know, I realize when I say things like this, uh-oh, dude, you're bordering on the nutcase edge there. That's a little dangerous. Let the police, let the courts handle it. Yeah, well, goddamn. You have to follow rules and so on. And I talked about this with my son. Like, what is the answer? What do we do? How do we solve these problems? And you know, I mean, he gave better answers than I gave. And it was, first of all, it's too late as teenagers. You've got to start very young when they're 5, 6, 7 years old. And you've got to give them options and chances. And he did suggest, you know, more community, you know, centers and places where they can go and hang out and get instructions and stuff and have some chance, because probably chances are the kids are deprived and don't have money and don't have a dad figure at home and so on. And what he mentioned is, take my friends who've grown up and they're nice guys, and maybe, you know, a couple, maybe have a single mom or whatever, but you put them in that other environment, then they're going to turn out to be shits. They're just lucky they grew up in a sort of a middle-class neighborhood, the mother had a decent union job, and so they're okay, enough money. And it is, a large part of it is economic, okay? So he was reasonable that way. Start when the kids are very young and get them. And to me, you know, you need things like Scouts and Cubs and stuff where you train, you learn respect and so on. I'd sort of like to be a little bit old school. Maybe the skip or the commander gets to slap the kid in the back of the head if he's a smart ass. But, of course, mothers wouldn't have that. No siree, boy. No. That's a little dangerous again. So, you see, I don't have a good grip on what's a responsible, mature, sophisticated way of dealing with these kind of problems. But I was kind of pleased that my son really had a much better take on it than I did. Recognize that it's ridiculous. You're not going to get the guns. They're going to come from everywhere. They're going to be smuggled in. We do have porous borders. There's no way of stopping that. But you've got to divert kids from wanting to join those gangs in the first place. Yeah. Anyway, I remain deeply disturbed by the events of last night, by the shooting, and much more so by the talk on Twitter and Facebook or whatever of revenge. You know what I did do? I made a post under the Scarborough dude. Now I protect, not everybody can follow me, you know, you need permission to, I've got to agree to it, which I'm really glad more than ever I've got, because just, you Google Scarborough, hey, there's a lot of shit going down there. I don't really want to be known by anybody in Scarborough as a Scarborough dude. I'd rather be anonymous. And the first thing I did last night after posting my first tweet was unlinked myself from the Dixon Janes podcast and unlinked the fact that my location is even Scarborough. So I do feel a little bit better that I'm not open to anybody following me and thinking, hey, maybe this is a cool guy. Anybody who wants to follow me, you ask first and I'll decide. And most people, anybody who's running a business or is a mental health guru or others, sorry, fuck you. I'm not about to let you follow me. And I'm certainly not interested in following you. Okay, so that's about it. It's upsetting, and I think I better compose a very carefully worded letter to the school in Japan to say, look, what you may have heard in the news may be quite alarming, but odds are your girls are going to be quite safe here in Scarborough. Yeah. Take care, Scarborough Dude. Signing out with a heavy sigh. Should be. Oh, sighing out.
My good old captain said to me, go down, you blood-red roses, go down. We'll plunder to a high degree. Go down, you blood-red roses, go down. Oh, your boots and poses. Go down, you blood-red roses, go down. Around the German lines we'll go. Go down, you blood-red roses, go down. For ashes make the flowers grow. Go down, you blood-red roses, go down. Oh, your boots and poses. Go down, you blood-red roses, go down. Around Japan we'll have to go. Go down, you blood-red roses, go down. For that is where the hot winds blow. Go down, you blood-red roses, go down. Oh, your boots and poses. Go down, you blood-red roses, go down. On eastern seas we're bound to sail. Go down, you blood-red roses, go down. For sunken ships will tell no tale. Go down, you blood-red roses, go down. Oh, your boots and poses. Go down, you blood-red roses, go down. On no man's land we'll dance around. Go down, you blood-red roses, go down. We'll drive the roses underground. And poses. Go down, you blood-red roses, go down.
Sounds of Bluffers Park Beach as the sun goes down and people start to leave. Leave too. Try not to hit anybody. 100 kids getting ice cream. Yeah. It is great, though, I'll tell you. After all those ugly things you heard about Scarborough on the news, it's fantastic that we've got this huge park and beach where families can come down. And today was one of the hottest days on record. We have had a major heat wave. And we're talking real hot, like American temperatures here. And people can come down by the water and the beach and swim. And the water is actually clean enough in Lake Ontario, this part anyway, where people can swim safely. Not so sure I'd want to. The water's cold, but it's without hazards. Anyway, sheet lightning out over the lake, I guess as a result of the heat. I've got all the windows down, and there's just an absolutely wonderful breeze, especially with the moonroof open. I've been having a very, very, very rough 24 hours since the start of this shooting. It's just knocked the wind out of me. You know, you might say, well, why is it affecting you so much? But it's the kind of thing that makes me feel I should quit my business. I shouldn't be bringing students, wonderful little young ladies, to this city when you've got guys running around with semi-automatics. You know, it's just so depressing. And everybody has an opinion on how to solve it, but nobody's really got a good answer. And it's just not build more jails. So I don't know. That's really got to me. And, you know, problems at home and problems of being a father and problems of household stuff that's just not getting done that should be doing, like find a plumber, and everything is building up. And then once my students get here in a matter of days, that's it. I'm just burned out and exhausted and I can't do anything else. My whole life is consumed by looking after these girls, and especially the teachers, for the whole 23 days they're here. It's a great thing, it's a wonderful thing, but man, oh man, it's a load as well, and I'm down to the critical point. I've been sitting in the dark making phone calls through my contacts just to find anybody, you know, who might be possibly host a teacher, you know, a mediator I haven't seen for 3 years, and a neighbor I haven't seen for 5 years, but I just have to keep trying just in case, you know, because you can't just sort of, it's not going to fall into my lap. And man, oh man, that's the most disconcerting, upsetting, stressful part of the job, is getting a place for everybody. And you know, I guess I should spend more time during the year. I've got ideas. Hey, make friends with the girl guides and see this as a project or a fundraiser. Donate some money to the girl guides if they can find me host families and stuff like that. You know, I got the ideas, but I'm just slow on carrying them out. I got 2 young people, Japanese, wanting to meet me Friday to give them advice, career advice. I'm thinking, oh my God, what am I doing? I live in so many worlds. I'm so, you know, I guess those other persona, those are not the Scarborough dude. It's the Scarborough dude who's talking to you, but the Scarborough dude knows he's made up of all these other ones, and I gotta be true to them all. Yeah. And some of the roles, like being a father, I'm just not all that good at. I wish I was wise, you know, and the perfect father. Oh, I wish I was just full of compassion and love that just came so easy. and that I never flew off the handle or overreacted and stayed calm all the time and just was this wise old bird, but I'm not. I'm just a fucking asshole. And there are people on this planet who will tell me that to my face. Anyway, sometimes, boys and girls, I feel a little better when I can tell you. If I ever felt that I had to sort of pull back from being open to you, if I ever felt I had to start putting up guards or only showing certain aspects of myself but hiding the others or presenting myself in a certain way that, I don't know, would make me look better, if I ever had to get phony and lose some of this authenticity, man, oh man, that would be the end. So, speaking of which, I think when this light turns green, we're gonna shut her down and get back to you another day, okay? So, whoa! Hang in there. Bye for now!
Anche tu, GMB, sei un bravo coglione. E per questo motivo voglio dare la possibilità di entrare a far parte della famiglia di Cosa Nostra.
Yo, I'm rolling with the wise guys. You don't wanna testify. I thought it was a movie till they paid me off in jury duty. I can't front. The check came in handy cause my baby mother stressing me like Edith did Archie. They welcomed me into the family. Brought me a Porsche in a crib out in Jersey. I told my mom she wasn't thrilled. She said they like Mad Lions, son. They shoot to kill and leave your body on the hill. Massacre similar to what happened in Amityville. I'm sitting back with a fifth, reminisce on who I miss. Sly the family stone in the CD disc.
It's a family affair.
The fans got me under pressure, yeah. They say I might not see some light again unless I snitch on my mans, and I won't happen, no, no.
So many pieces clefted that even if I send your mom the instruction, she couldn't put you back together. 4 or 5 where I've been circumcised. Time stand still when the murder's on the rise. Any last words? Give my regard to Tony Soprano. Soprano, Soprano.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
is CBC News. From CBC Toronto, it is 10 o'clock. A mix of sun and cloud. 20 degrees right now in Toronto. Expect a high today of 26. We begin in a suburb of Denver, Colorado, and a scene this morning of sheer terror. Cell phone footage taken outside a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. Inside, a gunman has just opened fire. At least 12 people are dead, and as many as 38 others are wounded. A man wearing a protective helmet, bulletproof vest, and a gas mask set off a gas canister and then sprayed bullets as people watched a late-night showing of the new Batman film, The Dark Knight Rises. The man was in the theater. This man was in the theater and describes the scene.
As soon as we heard the first shots, my sister immediately grabbed my arm and wanted to leave as quick as possible. Yeah, it was terrifying.
Police have a suspect in custody. They say a man who is 24 was apprehended in a neighboring parking lot. Police say he was armed with a rifle and a shotgun and was wearing a bulletproof vest and mask. Again, at least 12 people are dead after a gunman opened fire in a packed cinema near Denver, Colorado. Later today, the premier visits the Scarborough neighborhood where a shooting left 2 people dead and 24 injured. Dalton McGuinty will visit the East Scarborough Boys and Girls Club this afternoon. He'll be speaking to local community leaders, trying to prevent violence and steer youths away from joining gangs. 19-year-old Nahom Sigazab of Toronto is the first person charged in Monday's shootout. He is charged with reckless discharge of a firearm, but police say the charge doesn't relate to the deaths of 14-year-old Cheyenne Charles and 23-year-old Joshua Yasei. Sigazab is among the injured and remains in custody in hospital. Toronto police are also looking for at least one more suspect. In Syria, the fighting continues to rage on today. Opposition forces have swarmed border crossings in the country's north and east, taking key posts along borders with Iraq and Turkey. All this could mean the Assad regime is losing ground. Dorian Jones reports.
Hello again, and pardon the sound of the wind. I'm at the point, sort of where it narrows, where the boats come in and out. Here in Bluffers Park, a lot of big waves today, actually. Yeah, it looks like there might be some people out surfing. Incredible wind. I don't know where it's coming from. It's beautiful. It's cooled down finally. But here I am talking about the weather, and in the background you've probably heard or are hearing the latest mass shooting. And I find I've talked so much about what's happened here in Scarborough that I don't feel right going into the details of my own personal life and my own troubles and the trivia that makes up a lot of these podcasts. It just seems somehow inappropriate. So we're going to stick to the theme of Scarborough for this whole show and just be done with it. It made the news again, I guess, yesterday or the day before. I'm, of course, the mayor of Scarborough Park, and Bluffers Park, I should say. And there's also a beach area that I often check in on Foursquare. And somebody drowned there yesterday, tragically. Some friends were out swimming, and a guy just got caught in the undertow. Wasn't a strong swimmer. Got carried away and took an hour to find his body. And again, you know, wow. Just another sign of death hanging about Scarborough. Every year, of course, people fall off the bluffs and some die and some get rescued. They get drunk and stand on the edge. Now the answer is, well, we just got to build bigger fences. We warn them, but it doesn't make any difference. It's such an odd thing. And yet, where I live, it's such a wonderful area. And I know if you're not from Toronto and you listen to this podcast or you've never been to Toronto, you're probably thinking, wow, this sounds like one hell of a tough area. Because that's what you hear about in the news. You don't hear about somebody's lovely rose garden or the kind neighbors and the person who stops to chat when they walk their dog and all the other things that make it a very comfortable, convenient place to live. From the GOLD train near our house, it's 20 minutes downtown to Union Station. It's tremendous, and there's a subway at Kennedy. Although, that's where you also hear about knifings and shootings sometimes, so you can't win when you're in Scarborough, unfortunately. And yet, the people who are from here find it a wonderful place. But back to this issue of the guns. Like, it's too late to pull them back in. You know, sure, the good guys will surrender their guns, but the bad guys are going to keep them. So, and the crazies, you know, it should be harder for anyone to get a gun. But how many generations is that going to take until you eliminate the problem of crazies walking around with loaded automatic weapons? It's just not going to happen. It's again, yeah, you know, I hate to use this term flippantly, but I do call it the American disease. Some of the people were just saying, oh my God, you got to be so grateful for living in the randomness of these acts of violence. You know, who gets shot and who doesn't? Who gets it in the heart and who just misses a major artery and lives, you know, in surgery thanks to teams of doctors on hand. The human race, it's just, I was reflecting the other day, you get these low-life shooters who get dissed or whatever, want to prove they're a big man, maybe like the old Western comics, by just shooting out at people and don't do it very well, and of course spray and kill innocent bystanders. And then you've got people who are brain surgeons or scientists. I watched a show on TV Ontario last night, TVO, called The Virus or something like that, and it was an amazing show of how they've discovered and labeled, identified all these kinds of viruses that need a living host to survive, and their only job is to reproduce, and they've got to get into the body and find a cell and take over control of that cell to replicate themselves, and then they can burst out into a new cell or a neighboring group of cells and just keep replicating until, you know, the host, that's you or me or whoever, dies. And of course, the show started off with the virus that came here to Scarborough and shut down my business, SARS, which had an impact. You know, hey, I lived, I wasn't sick, but it just destroyed my business for a year's salary, a year's living, just out the window from one man who got on an elevator and coughed after treating people in the south of China. And these people, apparently, the virus came from bats, which infected civets, and some people like to dine on civets as a rare delicacy. Thank you very much, China. And that doctor got infected and coughed in the elevator that a woman was waiting in while heading out of this hotel metropole in Hong Kong, and boarded a plane for Toronto and visited her son in Scarborough, and that was it, you know. I'm just amazed when I think of the kids I went to school with. I can't imagine there were any brain surgeons in any of my classes. Well, there was a dentist, you know. I'm sure some people were successful. Of course they were. But where do we get these people? What families do they come from? The ones who reach it to the top. And I don't mean fucking lawyers, thank you very much. Sorry if you're a lawyer. I know there's at least one out there. A Crown prosecutor I have respect for, thank you. But I mean, people who really, really study and try and understand these things, it absolutely stuns me that the diversity within the human population and the brilliance of some and the wonder of it all that we have been able to become so specialized. So now we have this situation in Scarborough where the premier of the province is visiting, it's a photo op. And everybody's going to complain, yeah, well, what are you doing here now? Where were you before? But what it's coming down to is, what's the answer? How do you protect lives? How do you stop people from joining gangs? And I don't see any easy solution. The people in the gangs, you know, the citizens who live there, they want to be calmed and pacified and, you know, get a little reward of some kind. You know, another park, maybe not a park, but certainly another community center. What some people, Adam Vaughan of our city council, says is, hey,
You need more and more and more social workers to get in there and help these people. Maybe get back on their feet, get a job, get the hell out of there. Get some training, get more education. You do need money to do it. It isn't just community center, and it's not just basketball courts, that's for sure. But I don't think you're ever going to stop the people who, you know, are attracted by the gang life. Hey, you know, the short, fast, crazy life. This seems to be a part of the way some people want to live. The only hope is that you can offer children other pathways, other alternatives, so that they can see, yeah, I could do that. Or, by gosh, I could get an education and I could be some kind of, you know, a mechanic, you know, or I could be what do you call those guys who give you the ether at the hospitals? Anesthesiologist, or lots and lots of hopes and dreams. A nurse, you know? You're probably saying, well, why don't you aim higher, boy? Just because they're from public housing, subsidized housing, doesn't mean they can't be surgeons, too. Yeah, okay, hey. But you know what I'm talking about. You've got to give people options. And you've got to get rid of it. Well, I don't think you ever will get rid of the... You've got to educate people. You have to make them think harder. You have to get them to see beyond the bling, beyond the music videos glamorizing gold chains and half-naked women and all of that. You've got to present other realities. You know, it really does, a lot of it come down to education. It does. And yet it seems all the while there are cutbacks. And where do you go for that problem? Do I go back with what I was talking about on an earlier podcast with the unionists? Do you go back? Is it the multinationals that are squeezing the hell out of our economy and making us cut out things like music education? My God, kids don't have music education in school. Well, we did. We used to. What the hell happened? Why is that not there? Why isn't there more phys ed? Why aren't there more of these kind of programs that are clearly shown to benefit people? It really is. Okay, there's my answer for today. It comes down to putting more money into the education system, not cutting it down. There are greater needs. There needs more support for some of these kids who have special needs. They need decent food. You do need lunch programs and breakfast programs. If a kid goes to school hungry, he's going to be angry, and he's going to hate the kid who never goes hungry because he's got a mommy and daddy who's looking after him, and this poor kid doesn't. You've got to educate young women who don't go fucking every boy who wants to get into your pants and get yourself pregnant at 15, 16, 17, and carry on from there and have more children and more babies because it's, you know, okay to be pregnant because somebody will look after you, you'll get money. I mean, that is the word for a lot of young people. Hey, no, you get pregnant, the government looks after you. We got to find a different way here. There are solutions. Maybe you have some of your own. I just want to end this podcast by not going on and whining about my own petty life. I am under tremendous stress. My students arrive in 2 days. I'm not ready. I have an awful lot to do, so I got no time to talk to you. Boys and girls, thanks for listening, as always. God, do you hear that water? Listen to the waves crashing on the rocks. And think about life and death and nature and the wonders of, how we live and die. It's tremendous. It's so absolutely wonderful to have a place to come to every morning. Yep, there's a dozen surfers out there in wetsuits taking advantage of these big waves. I don't know what's caused them. It's a rare event, but it's absolutely beautiful to see. So, as dark as this podcast may have seemed, there is sunlight, there is water, we're alive. Celebrate the life you've got. Make the most of those days. Smile at your loved ones. Give somebody a hug. Yeah. Hey, I'm the guy who on Facebook said if I see any more of these platitudes about what a better life it is if we could all just get along, I'm going to unfriend every one of those people. So here's me doing the same. I'm sure it sounds pretty trite to you too. But get real. Do something wonderful. Enjoy.
smile, take care. Live each day as if it might be your last, because it might be your last. If not today, then maybe tomorrow. Bye for now.